Here we go. Here comes the horses. Open the door and let them in. They're bringing in the teeny tiny lady lives in a pickle jar. Nan and Kay, I know they're listening to me right now in Hawaii. They enjoyed the show, and they always love when the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar comes in now. Jack Stein filling in for Tom. Actually, you're filling in for Sherry, who fills in for Tom. Let's make sure that pecking order is correct. And move that microphone in there a little closer. Jake, Sean, if you could do that for me. There we go. And there's the teeny. Oh my gosh.
I got hairy legs.
Okay.
That turn, that turn.
Go ahead.
Blonde in the sun.
Not a joke. Not a joke.
I do not get it.
I'm not joking.
Oh my God. It's a weird ride with President Joe Biden and the teeny tiny lady in the pickle jar. Got
John,
it. Okay.
Yes. Can I ask you a question I've been meaning to ask you for some time?
Yes.
Why do you keep a small woman in a pickle jar as prisoner, basically, to bring her out for 30 seconds every day at 5 o'clock? And then what do you do with this teeny tiny lady afterwards?
Okay. Well, first of all, she is not... in no way is she enslaved by me or Bonneville or any one of the Bonneville affiliates. She lives in the pickle jar. It's her thing. She wrote to Jacob or to Brian when we first started the show, said, hey, listen, I got some time on my hands. I live in a pickle jar. I'm tiny. And we're like, you know what? We'll call you back if we need somebody. We happen to need somebody. She comes in. She doesn't
make sense.
Down to 30 seconds. She sits. You can see her. She's right over there next to Jacob. She taps on the glass, and she points to the letters of the day. It's kind of her thing.
Right.
So,
well, that was just her original role. The wagon was added on, and you can see her career growth over time.
You really can.
Added more responsibility over time.
And then Sean... I feel so sorry for people just sitting. And then Sean's in charge of the horses.
Yeah, the horses are lovely. And it took a little while for the little lady to get accustomed to the horses. They were a bit... nippy at first, but you know, and they were being challenged
and bouncing. And that's Lady Treasure is the brown and white horse. That's the one closest to you, Jack. And then Captain Nibbles,
Professor Nibbles. Yeah,
Professor Nibbles is
the professor of the Nibbles.
Black horse with the
who feeds the teeny tiny?
They live with Sean. We have to get into the news. They live with Sean in an apartment on the third floor of an apartment without an elevator. That's all you need to know. And if there's no air conditioning. Here we go. This is King County Health. If you're sticking with this one, King County Health official recommends people wear masks for indoor public spaces so we can continue to do the kabuki theater. So you go to the restaurant and you stand there and the masked 22-year-old with a vacant sort of cow-eyed look asks if you have a reservation. You say no. She looks down at some magical sort of like iPad in front of her, and then you have your mask on, and then she walks you 15 feet from the front door over to some sticky table that someone just wiped down with alcohol.
Yes.
But then once you sit down, because your knees are bent and your ass is on a piece of wood, you are now immune to the virus. So then you're allowed to take off your mask because you're now 4.5 feet or you're 4.5 feet above sea level, but you're 3 feet from where you were before when you were standing erect. So now while you're seated with your ass on a piece of wood, the virus can't affect you. And everybody else in the restaurant has their masks off as well. But the hostess comes back over. She has her mask on. And then the waiter comes over and he points to some QR code, which you bring up on your phone, and then you order fried clams and you vomit them 3 hours later out in front of your house. But the big thing is that we're going to bring this back, everybody, so everybody feels safe. This is the stupidest thing. And here we go. State of Washington, let's get all the sheep in line and put your masks back on.
John, sorry.
Are we on the air? Hello. Are we on the air?
John, can you empathize at all with people who think that masks are... I'm not saying that you need to agree with it, but something that I try to do on nights is I try to say, well, how can we empathize with people when they're being stupid? And it's a challenge to do so, but I'm curious if you, as you know, as the likable guy that you are, can you empathize with people who might be a little afraid of the Delta variant?
That's fine. I got it. I have it. I understand you. Go ahead. If you have concerns, wear the mask, right? I mean, I remember having friends that were going through chemo right. and their immune system was reduced. Or I had a friend that had HIV and I was like, and he was so concerned when he was really getting a whole bunch of this new type of treatment. We were all really careful around him, right? And you're careful around somebody that's dealing with all sorts of additional things with their own immune system thing. They've got a mask on, right? Doing all the steps you possibly can. But if you're outside and you're walking around with a mask, it's not about the virus. It's about you. And it's about how you want to let everybody know you really care. You care so much. You're willing to wear a mask while you're outside and it's blowing 14 knots. It's not about the virus. It's about you and how you are better than everybody else because you care more than anyone. You're willing to wear the mask outside while riding your scooter with your man bun. Sorry, I did you ask me to be empathetic to them? I just couldn't. I'm sorry. I started out with a person with chemo, and then I ended up with the guy with the man bun. Well, I'm sorry.
John, at this point, as right-wingers, right, as conservatives, one of the things that's lacking is an ability to convince other people that they don't need to live this way if they do not want to. And when we go on these rants, as I have done, as you have done, about you're so stupid, you're so foolish,
no.
Why do you do this, blah, 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 you are turning people away from the great and wonderful world that you and I live in, which is I don't wear the mask. Yeah.
No, I'm not saying you're stupid. If you would want to wear the mask, go ahead. If you're virtue signaling, I don't need to be signaled by you. I will just assume you're a decent human being. You don't have to put the mask on. You don't have to be inconvenienced by it. You don't have to smell your own sort of weird sort of coffee vape breath. Let me back up.
See?
You don't need. Okay. Go ahead and wear it. But by you wearing it, you're not signaling to me that you... by me not wearing it, it really is about, it's always a counter to it because you can't have one thing without being opposed to something else. I'm wearing the mask because I want to show that I believe this is serious. Even though I'm vaccinated, I'm wearing the mask. And by you not wearing the mask, it means you are not serious and you don't care as much as I do. It's like the people that carry around their shopping bags, the ones that are made out of like bamboo or cotton.
Oh yeah, yeah.
Okay, and they're going into the store and they're looking at you like, why don't you just put everything in plastic? Because they've got their bag, right? They got their recyclable bag and they carry it and they've got it all folded up. Good, that's fine for them. They're gonna save the planet. But I'm not doing that, and they're doing that, and that's their choice. But their choice is not. If their choice is for them and not for signaling to me, then do everything you want. Go ahead, wear your mask, have your recyclable bag, drive your Prius. Just get out of the left-hand lane.
So do you think that if they reinstitute the mask mandates, and this is a legitimate question, and they start doing 25% capacity at businesses again,
yeah.
Do you think that we're going to see people actually break? This has been my fear now for months, is that you let everybody back out, and then a month later, all of a sudden you crack everything back down again, and you psychologically break people in the same way they did to Paul Newman. Steve McQueen. And Papillon, where he gets out and they put him in solitary and they break him so that he won't try to escape again.
Mm-hmm. And they told him not to touch himself while he's in there.
Yes, exactly.
I remember watching that movie when I was 14. It's like, now that's torture. Okay.
But we know that wearing a high-quality, well-fitting face mask or respirator is a simple and effective way to reduce risk.
Or respirator? This is Jeff Duchin. So high quality. Remember, you get the little crappy one that most people wear. This is the high-quality N95 or 94.
For individuals and for our community. In fact, I want to call your attention to the most recent report for Washington State from the University of Washington's Institute of Health Metrics and Evaluation, IHME, which finds that if universal masking is implemented in Washington next week, it will prevent between 540 and 880 deaths in Washington State by November 1st.
Okay, so let's do that. So that's in 15 weeks, right? That's 15 weeks. You talk while I do math because nobody wants to hear me do math. Go ahead.
Well, John, I mean, I'm not very, my issue with math is that As far as, you know, my college education goes, I have a humanities degree, which means that I never had to take anything that was involved with math.
Okay, there we go. But so you're going to save two people a day, 2.5, the half a person. Yeah, two or three people a day you'd save. So if everybody wears a mask, put your mask on, everybody, and you'll save 2 to 5 people. Now, again, it's the question of how sick were they, how heavy were they, and what age were they, but they don't want to talk about
for
that.
For these reasons, I'm recommending at this time that all people, regardless of vaccination status, once again, voluntarily wear masks in indoor public settings as an extra layer of protection to help us all stay safer, including the unvaccinated adults and the 300,000 children in King County who aren't able to get vaccinated yet, and the many thousands of people who have immune systems that are weakened or suppressed, and to a much lesser extent, vaccinated persons.
Okay, so extra added care.
I don't know how much I buy into this argument. As a matter of fact, I completely disagree with it. Because, I mean, at this point in time, if you haven't gotten the vaccine, that's on you.
Yes.
And I get really tired of this mentality, which is this kind of we're all in it together mentality like my friend Dr. Z has.
We're not.
I don't really think so. I went out, I got the J&J vaccine because my wife said, please do it, my friends want to come over, and I was like, fine, I guess I'll go get the J&J vaccine. I got it. I was miserable for 2 days. I was convinced that I had gotten a bad dose, and then all of a sudden I was fine. But okay. I got a hot dose. Like
this is a guy that's buying street level heroin outside of the Boston airport. Go ahead.
Well, you got to be. Come on, I mean, John, you can always tell with street level heroin. You know, the darker it is, the better it is. Come on, John.
Everybody knows that.
The shot that they gave me, it's crystal clear. You can see right through it. Obviously, it's poison. So more importantly, but this idea that somehow I have to start caring about somebody else is a weird thing to me. Like, I care about you as a coworker and as a professional, but if you got COVID-19, I wouldn't think to myself, oh man, if only I had worn a mask around John Curley. It would not occur to me. It would be, why didn't John get the vaccine? So on and so forth. I fail to see how they make it my problem when it comes to people deciding not to get the vaccine. Not my problem, Jay Inslee. Not my problem.
Yeah, I think the thing, I give you permission to be whoever you are. And I it's in the Bible. Am I my brother's keeper? That's a question that is asked of Cain and Abel, right? Because God wants to know.
Right.
Who got hit in the head? Was it Cain that got hit or the Abel? I think Abel hit Cain with a cane. I can't remember who killed who.
No, Abel.
Okay, Cain's Abel. Right. And where is Abel? Am I my brother's keeper? Yeah, good lie. That is the question that is asked. When you collectively group people, which socialists tend to like to do, you put them all in a big group and then you treat them as a group as opposed to individuals. And it's all about individuals and it's about your freedom. I love the fact that we had the vaccine. I love the fact that they got warp speed and that Donald Trump, who doesn't get any credit for it, got this thing going. And now here we are, fastest we've ever put something out. And now Bob Smith comes along, made that name up, and he says, you know what? I'm going to get the vaccine because I want to protect myself. That's Bob's personal choice to the vaccine. Good for you, Bob. Takes the vaccine, does all the analysis, figures, you know what? Chance of dying, chance of dying from the vaccine, not sure, but I'm taking the vaccine. Like your wife said to you, take it. So you get it, so you got it, and there you go, right? And somebody else doesn't get it. Well, now they're basically swimming around out in the deep end without anybody to help them.
Right.
And if they go down, they go down, and then somebody has to jump in and save them, right? Well, everybody else has been vaccinated, so the only people that are in that deep end swimming around with rocks attached to their feet are other people that have not gotten the vaccine, that have all chosen to jump into the deep end with rocks on their feet. They're all in there together. They could all possibly go down, but their drowning does not affect Bob Smith, who now has a vaccine. Why is that so hard to understand? Is this crazy talk?
Well, do you remember that?
Not rhetorical question. Moving on. No, go ahead.
Do you remember that article that came out a couple days ago, went viral? It was that doctor in Alabama, and she said that she had an incident with a patient where the patient was about to be intubated, and then the patient said, "I'm ready for the vaccine now," and she had to say, "No, it's too late for that." So things that never happened for 500. But so the thing about that is that kind of, I think what's making I think what's making people so weird about the vaccine is the heavy-handed nature of it. You hear it all the time from the Biden administration, Jen Psaki. They always say the same phrase over and over and over again. Shots in arms, shots in arms, shots in arms. After a while, it starts to get weird. So the people who don't want it, I think they're being alienated even more. Just look at what Jay Inslee did when he came out and he said, well, hey, all you Trumpers out there, you're like bioreactive virus labs if you're walking around there without a vaccine. You can't shame people into doing it. You have to incentivize them. And unfortunately, $2 million didn't really do the trick that they thought it was going to do.
No, it can't incentivize them. They've made this decision, and this is the hill that they're going to be on. And they have it. They've made the choice to not do it. I just looked up in France. They now have mandates in place. You have to get the vaccine. 100,000 people are now marching through the streets, Tom would like this, through France because they don't want it. France, thousands protest against vaccine and COVID passes. This is the passport. 100,000 people protest in France on Saturday. And it's the government's latest measurement to push people to get vaccinated and curb rising infection by the Delta variant COVID virus. So you would see that sort of thing again. You'd see people rise up. Back to Hunter Biden and his art. I love the fact that, remember, they said that Hunter will not have any idea who it is that bought the art. He won't know, so therefore the person can have no influence.
We now know that Hunter Biden is going to be able to meet with prospective buyers at two art shows where his paintings are going to be on display later this year. How does this square with the goal of keeping him in the dark about the buyers of his art as a means to prevent even the appearance of undue influence?
Well, this showing that was that you're referencing was previously public. He's not going to have any conversations related to the selling of art. That will be left to the gallerist, as was outlined in the agreement that we announced just a few weeks ago. We believe this is a reasonable system that has been established that allows for Hunter Biden to work in his profession within appropriate safeguards. So he's not going to discuss anything related to the selling of art. And I would reiterate that the gallerist will be the only person who handles transactions or conversations in that vein and will reject any offer that is out of the ordinary.
Wouldn't it be more transparent to just release the names of the buyers so that everyone would know who purchased this art and how much they paid?
Well, we don't. We won't know who the buyers are. Hunter Biden won't know who the buyers are.
Absolutely
so I think
not.
The origin, I think, of this line of questioning, which is understandable, is about whether this would provide a situation for undue influence. But we won't know who they are. So there's no scenario where they could provide influence.
Didn't they just announce on social media that they bought a painting?
Again, I think we have set up a system which we feel is appropriate, has appropriate safeguards. We believe that Hunter Biden, just like any child of a president, should be able to pursue their professions and their passions. And any selling of the art would be through the gallerist.
So Kamala Harris's niece was asked to please take down your Instagram and stop using the hashtags that you've been using in order to sell your products. Now, she's still doing it anyway. The White House has, again, reprimanded her, telling her, please don't do that. Undue influence. Let's also remember Kamala Harris's stepdaughter got a big job with a modeling agency. People that
yeah.
She, you know, not exactly tight, but, you know, come on. Jen, how dumb you think we are? Someone's going to spend $500 on Hunter Biden's artwork. You don't think he's going to be able to press the flesh with Hunter Biden? Is it going to be like the Masked Singer? That Hunter Biden will have no idea who the person is that just bought the art. The guy's going to have like a giant lion head on.
You think it's a $500,000 ticket to meet with Hunter Biden?
Come on. Please.
I think it's laundering, John Curley. I said this before, I say it again. I think someone's trying to launder $500,000, and the easiest way to do that is to buy a useless piece of paper from Hunter Biden. Have you seen the way he does his art, by the way?
Yeah, listen, I have no problem. Listen, anybody that's got the guts to make art, whatever art is, and then put it up on a wall, then allow people to walk by and look at it, that's not easy. That is not easy. Anybody wants to spend time making art, great, good for you. You know, but you want to ask $500,000, somebody's going to pay it. Are they paying it because they believe that investment will come back or that thing's going to go up? If the people are rich enough to invest $500,000, they want that value to go up. That's why people buy art. Wow. All right. Jeez, we covered everything there. Josh Kearns, what's going on out there? Here we go. Write to us at MyNorthWest.com. Text as well at 989-73. That's the State Roofing text line. We all are welcome. Teeny tiny lady. She's working feverishly over there. Pointing to which one she likes, tapping on the glass. One hand, the other hand, she's got herself a great big, looks like a, is that a margarita? Sean, is that a margarita she's drinking?
Looks like a margarita. Yeah.
Yes. Got salt on the rim. And she'll help Jacob every step of the way. By the way, Jack Stein in for Sherry. Sherry's normally in for Tom. It's like an Escher painting. Then a bird turns into a fish, back into a bird again. So here we go. I love the fact that Jeff Bezos gets down to Earth and goes, oh, this is the greatest day ever. And then now here's $100 million to Van Jones. And then it must have been some point somebody in the Department of Metals was like, oh, my gosh, we have to give all these people medals. There's that little lapel pin. It's really cool, by the way, that is given to astronauts. Then they decided, ooh, I think the day that Bezos landed, they decided they would change the rules. Right, Jack?
Yeah. So they decided that there was a certain threshold that you had to meet. I believe it's like you have to make it. I had the number right in front of me, John Curley, and I literally just closed the window like a consummate professional.
50 miles, right?
15 miles. Thank you very much. You have to be 15 miles up. And Bezos didn't quite make this. Now the question is it do you do it for the medal or do you do it for the experience? And is the medal that big of an deal, John?
I can't imagine he cared at all about the medal. Yes.
So moving on from that, though, if you wanted the medal, do you think that you would dispute this, or do you think that you would take it? And what court would you take it to? I mean, who would
I would say Jeff Bezos didn't even know there was a medal, right? I think in certain circles, that medal really means a lot. Alan Bean, who was the fourth guy to walk on the moon, actually left one up there. He said it'll be here for millions and millions and millions of years, or till a tourist comes along and finds it and brings it home. So there you go. He had one, and then he left one up there. But I don't think Bezos cares at all about the medal, and to think that he cared about the medal. Have you ever run a 5K or 10K, like chasing down a drug dealer to go buy some street-level heroin, and you happen to find yourself in a 5K?
They give you
those medals. Those medals mean nothing. After you finish the race, you have a whole collection of them. Brian Buckaloo, I'm sure, has like 50,000 of them. I have a whole drawer full of them.
Yeah.
They mean nothing. After you do the race, when I got that Iron Man, I thought I will display that and look at that every day, and it will inspire me. I have no idea where that thing is. The medal
I've got
is
mine,
insignificant.
John, I think you have to put it somewhere where you look at it, and then ladies come over, and they go, what's
ladies.
This thing? And you go, that's I did a... Did a half Iron Man.
Yeah, the ladies are not coming over here, okay?
Well, two things. Jeff Bezos is such a space nerd that there's part of me that does think there's a little bit of him that wanted the wings, but he would never admit it. And I will also say that Brian Buckaloo does have a plaque that's like first place in a marathon hanging in his office. So at least maybe that's the guy who does take at least
things
seriously.
First place is pretty impressive.
Okay,
first place. Yeah. But not just some medal that they give to everybody, right?
Well, not everybody goes to space, John. I think this is the significance of it.
It certainly seems like it.
Right.
Enough of them are going to space. I remember when Rye one time, my little kid, goes to get on the plane. And this is when the captain used to stand there and like, hey, how you doing there? You want some wings? And then he gave Rye, and Rye, a big deal to get these little plastic wings, right? And then is Rye sitting there, and he sees other kids coming by with these wings. And he's like, this means nothing. I'm like, hey, you're three, okay? Just keep it on, all right? You don't upset the pilot. Yeah, because Rye's like, he's given the wings to everybody. It doesn't mean anything. And that's the same sort of thing. You got to up the layer. So now it's 15 miles up, and you got to do something while you're up there. It has to be scientific or protective or some sort of citizens. There's a big, long list. People are not going to be up there doing experiments with grapefruits or something. It's just one way to sort of stop them from having to make more medals.
Did you ever hear, though, about Mad Mike Hughes, the guy who was the flat earther who was trying to prove that the Earth was flat, and so he built a rocket, steam-powered rocket, went up to about 1,500 feet, rocket failed. He ended up passing away tragically. In my mind, Mad Mike Hughes is much more of a hero.
Why do you have to put in the word tragically? He's in his own rocket.
He's in Apple Valley, California, in a steam-powered rocket, which, by the way, yes. There are no apples in Apple Valley, California.
Okay.
It's a dry desert. He goes 1,500 feet up in the air. He would have gotten higher if he had a hot air balloon. But In my mind, Mad Mike Hughes is more of a legend than Jeff Bezos is, because Mad Mike Hughes went out there, he designed that rocket with a team of engineers, got on top of basically a water-powered bomb, did it, I don't know how, 6 or 7 times, tragically died, tragically passed away, in the, what do they call it, the right stuff, that kind of moment in his life. Yeah. Bezos walks in, he plays astronaut like he's playing a character, like he's in a Michael Bay movie. He gets into this thing that doesn't even look like a rocket. He goes up, he comes back down, everybody's so happy for Bezos. In my mind, what about Mad Mike Hughes?
Mad Mike Hughes, the reason his first name was Mad,
yep,
because he wanted to prove that the Earth was flat.
John, this is a scientific endeavor, though. What did Bezos have the same goal, to prove anything, or that he could just go up there and come back
down?
Man
can go into outer space, and that he can build something a lot cheaper than the government can, and then they can use all of the latest technology that Jeff Bezos is using, and eventually we're able to get into outer space. Someone has to do it, and why not one of those rich guys? Good for them for doing it. And for Mad Mike, what did he prove? And by the way, you keep adding the word tragically in there. You should use the word predictably. Anybody that goes up into their own rocket ship that's powered by water, the greatest disappointment of my life, it was like a turning point. I remember turning to my father when it happened. I thought, that doesn't seem right for a bunch of reasons. And my father says, well, grow up. And I'm referring to 1974, Evel Knievel going across the Snake River Canyon.
Right.
My brother and I, glued to the television set starting at 8 o'clock on that Saturday, I think it was Saturday morning. ABC had it, Wide World of Sports, and this was it. Evel Knievel carrying his gold little walking stick in his Rocket Man suit, and they put him into this weird sort of like little metal, looks like sort of a thing you'd find at a backyard parish fair. They put him in, they lift him up, they put him into his, and then we're like, all of a sudden, that's not even a motorcycle. That's not a motorcycle. That's a rocket. Evel Knievel is supposed to jump across the Snake River Canyon on a motorcycle. That's a rocket. The thing went about, like, I don't know how many feet out. And then the parachute deployed, and he came down, and he landed in the water. And I think he broke his nose. That was it. But as a kid, I remember thinking, that's it? We spent, what's all we talked about for weeks and weeks and weeks on end, that Evel Knievel, and I had the Evel Knievel lunchbox. Imagine my shame.
How deep was that?
Imagine what it felt, how it reflected it on me.
Are you still upset about this to this day, John? I mean,
no,
this,
but I
that
watched
was what?
It the other day, and it still went right there. All the years, it just went through.
You watched layers. It again and started crying again? What
layers and layers about? Of just calloused heart. I still was like, that's not a motorcycle. Josh Kearns, you remember that? You're about your my
of
age.
Of course. And then didn't it crash into the site? He, like, barely made it halfway. I mean, the whole thing was just, it's like Geraldo opening up Al Capone's tomb or something.
Right, but you remember, like, waiting around for it?
That oh, absolutely.
Be, oh, it was such a huge thing. So
and
big.
And such a letdown. Absolutely.
Oh, I know. Oh, thank you. Thanks, Josh. Jack Stein, you're no help.
I'm sorry. I'm not 150 years old, John. I don't remember the 70s.
All right, here we go. Look at that mailman song. Lay down a beat, a funky beat that make people move their feet, get them up on the dance floor. Get them up on the dance floor. They're up on the dance floor. They're dancing. They're having a great time. Teeny Tiny's over there. Hey, Teeny.
Oh, no, it is time for
No, Teeny. No. Wow. How much of that margarita has she had? All right, we'll get to the letter of the day, but first let's take care of all the rest. Here we go. At you, Jack.
Oh, 253 says, Mr. C, everything okay out there? Fire is looking awful close.
Yes, we're fine. 206, John, I'm glad you put the fire out.
509 says, hey, Curly, the fire is right along the John Wayne Trail, about 5,000 feet from my place. Time for a cocktail.
That's right. It's not supposed to be called the John Wayne Trail anymore, remember? But let's see. Reimagining Policing 360. Screw reimagining public safety. How about real leaders? Who can imagine public safety and then do something about it? Did anyone notice the sirens in the background while Jenny Durkin was speaking?
360 says, not all people of color that were killed by a shooting, just like George Floyd wasn't killed with a gun.
That's true. Let's see. Susie in Linden says, police are not the enemy. I can assure you that any of these council members, etc., will dial 911 if they get in trouble. I have two members of my family who are in law enforcement and worry every day. I think any of these fools making these rules should do or go for a ride along at night and see what these police officers face.
970 says, where is the line in the stats for, quote, weapons planted by lying cops, end quote, to protect themselves and other officers from prosecution? John, cops lie, is what it says.
Let's look that statistic up. 206, John is, John's all hopped up on wildfire smoke. That's why I love the show.
I'm not joking.
Cleveland Guardians, yes. 360 says, corn, I'm offended. I'm from Cleveland. Does that mean I have corns on my feet?
Nick from Orcas writes, corn is a grain, not a vegetable. Not when you eat it on the cob, but good try there, Nick.
253 says, can't do corn. That's because corn came from the Aztecs.
That's good. There's somebody going after your corn idea. How about 206 says, how about the Cleveland soybeans?
425 says, okay, can check the Cleveland Indians off our list. What's next? Chicago Blackhawks.
That goes. 253. You're right, Jack. Native Americans are a small group of people. They didn't used to be, but they certainly are now. Wow.
Astronaut Wings. 206 says, I keep telling you guys, this is not a spaceship. It is a high-flying airplane.
Okay. 360 says, John, would you display a Guinness World Record award?
Critical race theory, 425 says, I resent that remark. I am 56 and I enjoy a good doobie every now and again.
Okay. I don't know what that has to do with anything, but teeny tiny. Pickle lady needs a tiny man.
360 says, I'm curious, did anybody ask the teeny tiny lady for her ID before she could drink that margarita?
Yes, and I like this one right here. Please lose the imaginary tiny lady pickle jar. Horse gig undermines the show. Undermines the show and sounds insane. No significance to your leaders or to your listeners. Jacob had to put that one in there. Mr. President?
Not a joke.
Not a joke.
Airport Sleeping 253 says, so street level heroin, a lot like that generic macaroni and cheese versus the Velveeta and shells with the cheese paste in the pouch, just asking for a friend. Yes is the answer to that.
Okay. Delta variant 253 says, COVID can get more virulent, deadly. They put that in parentheses so we know what that word means. But at the same time, it would be less transmissible. The reason is that it would kill its host before it could transfer other. Remember the R-naught? Remember that? Would go down rapidly.
425 says, come on, Curly. Once Inslee calls in the National Guard like last time, they scare the virus away.
Ain't that the truth? Mask recommendations. 253, John, my wife, had COVID twice now, and I guess she lived. That's right. Though both of them, teeny tiny. Do you have her over there? I know that guy thinks it ruins the show.
And now it is time for the letter of the day.
Oh, teeny, thank you. You, Jack. Read that, Jack.
Since the chances of having both Tom and Curly on the show the same day seems to be decreasing, maybe you guys should consider changing the name. Let me see. What would be a good name? I got it. The Guardians. I think that would met with Tom Hanks's approval. Didn't stick the landing, but I almost got it done.
I like that.
The Russian judge likes you because you've got street-level heroin you can give him later on.
Thank you.
All right, Jack Stein, have a great weekend. I'm a big fan.
Thank you, sir.
By the way, let's do another hour. Let's remember everything we just said. Okay, verbatim. Get out the transcripts.